Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 557. It's the 12th of August, 2016. On the podcast today, I have CFO of Caledonia Mining, that's CMCL, Mark Learmonth, discusses their positive quarterly and half-yearly results. Oh, and by the way, I'm starting a new feature on the podcast next week. It's most liked and disliked RNSs, Saints and Sinners. And I say this in connection with Caledonia Mining because in the last 2 days, their RNS about this report was the most liked on the Vox Market website. So I'll be doing that. At the moment, this feature is only available on the website and the mobile site. It will be available on the app next week. That's why I'm starting it next week. So if you read an RNS you like or dislike, please click the thumbs up or thumbs down button, and I'll be reporting the results of those likes and dislikes on the podcast. Also on the podcast today, Nicola Duke, technical analyst, looks at the following stocks, as suggested by you guys. Prospects, Oil and Gas, PXOG, Eurasia Mining, EUA, Westminster Group, WSG, Wood Group, WG Dot, Amrit Pharma, AMYT. Plus, I also have today's 5 most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. It's all changed there. Plus, one for your watch list is suggested by Mr. Botswana. Yeah, I think it's a made-up name. But the company he's suggesting and the research this person has done is not made-up. It's very good research, and I'll read that out in a bit.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chief Financial Officer of Caledonia Mining, CMCL is a ticker. It's Mark Learmonth. Thanks for coming back on, Mark.
Hi, thanks.
Now, we'll get to your results. You had second quarter and first half results out recently. Very good results, by the way. And you did talk about this beforehand. You said, as expected, we'll get to the detail. But first and foremost, if people haven't heard of you, Caledonia Mining, what do you do, Mark? What's your business there?
Yeah, our business is gold mining. We are a Jersey registered company listed on AIM, also in Toronto as well, and we have a gold mine in Zimbabwe, which we bought off Kinross in 2006, and we've grown it quite nicely, and it's a very nice little mine. So that's the business.
Yes, so let's go through some of the marks I've been looking at, especially at the bottom line, which is very impressive. But take us through some highlights from this release, please, Mark.
Okay, well, I think the most important thing is clearly production. Production's gone up, as we said it was going to. Mm-hmm. So in the first half of the year, we produced about 12,500 ounces. The target for the full year is the second quarter was 12,500. For the first half, it was about 23,300. We're projecting for the full year about 50,000 ounces. We're still on track for that. So what that implies is that in quarter three and quarter four, production will be higher than it was in the first half of the year. And that will mean that we're selling more gold, we're getting the revenue will go up, but it also means that our costs come down. So we get the benefit of selling more gold at a higher gold price as well at the moment, but at a lower average cost. So that sort of further boosts profitability. So earnings per share for the second quarter were about 6 cents a share for the second quarter. That compares to about 1 cent for the first quarter. And you can expect to see quarter three, I'd expect to be about 8 cents. Quarter four, I'd expect about 10 cents, giving for the year about 23, 24, 25 cents, depending on the gold price. So what we're seeing now is the beginning of the tick up in profitability and production as a result of the investment that we've been making and we continue to make at the mine.
Yeah, so like I said, these are excellent results going forward, and you did say this, but you're confident still of improving on these, are you?
Of course, this is only the foothills. I mean, as you know, producing 12,000 ounces a quarter is nice, but producing 13 is better. Producing 14 is even better. And then by the time we get into next year, the production will continue to increase. Our costs will continue to come down. And so it's going to be an evolving story for investors, which they can see play out quarter on quarter over the next sort of 2 or 3 years. So they've got plenty of time to decide that really finally we are delivering what we say we're going to deliver, and get on the bandwagon and buy some shares.
Well, do you know what? I was looking at the revenue here, profit and loss account here, and I had to do a double take on the 3 months ended the 30th of June, because profit for the period was $472,000 for the 3 months 2015. So $472,000. Now, I looked at 3 months to 2016, $4.5 million. And it was almost 10 times the improvement.
Yes, yeah, that's quite right. I know, it's dramatic. It's a dramatic improvement. It's got, in all fairness, that increase does, a part of that increase does reflect the sale. We had a windfall sale of some Zimbabwe government bonds, which on a post-tax basis, I think that contributed about $2.4 million. And that windfall gain is, we do strip that out in the adjusted earnings per share. So if you look at the adjusted earnings per share of six cents for the quarter, that doesn't include the windfall gain. But yeah, so you're quite right. You take these. We shouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed about the fact we made a windfall gain. But I think it is fair for investors to realise that sort of $4.5 million in the 3 months to the end of June 2016 does include that windfall. But if you strip it out, it's still a very good quarter.
Yeah, but what's good as well, though, is that, you know, you pay a dividend. So, like I said, shareholders share not only in the capital appreciation, which the share price has seen, but like I said, you've increased the dividend. Was it about 22%, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, we increased the dividend. We paid the last dividend. We pay quarterly dividends. The last dividend we paid was the end of July. And that dividend was 1 3/8 US cents. So just over a penny, an English penny a share. We'd increase that by 22%. And we did that because we could see the improved performance of the business in terms of increased production, increased profitability, and critically, the improved cash generation. And so we could see that coming, which is why we thought it was entirely appropriate to increase the dividend preemptively and share that with shareholders.
Do you know what's ironic here, Mark, is that on AIM, there are very few companies doing as well as you and generating profit and paying a dividend, and yet you are based in Zimbabwe, which is ironic because people, attach a stigma to that, and they really, and they say, oh, people are almost, risk averse to that area of the world. But yet, there are companies all around the world on AIM not doing anywhere near as well as you're doing.
Absolutely. That is a source of frustration for us. And, one day we do expect that Zimbabwe will become a more acceptable investment destination as some of the political issues, the political and economic issues there get resolved. But on a day-to-day basis, our operations, we are much more comfortable operating in Zimbabwe than we would be, say, in South Africa. We've got very high quality workforce. Everything we need at the mine is on the mine. So we've, all of our workers, we've got about 1,200 workers. They all live in a mine village with a wife and family. So it's a very nice sort of self-contained environment. We've got all the water supply we need, all the electricity supply we need. We feel we're pretty much insulated from any sort of pushing and shoving that may take place politically, which typically would take place in Harare, which is a long, long way away from where we are. And also, don't forget, we're fully indigenized. We did that in 2012, which means that we sold 51% of the mine to various groups of Zimbabweans, including the workers, including the local community. And that's an immensely important, we're the only significant Zimbabwean mining company that's done that. So we fully comply with the law, and we've got very good relationships with both our workers and the community. And if anything happened untoward, it would hurt those people just as much as it would hurt us. And they've got a lot less to lose than we have. They don't have as much. And so we do find that indigenized position as being quite helpful in terms of positioning ourselves and managing the risks in Zimbabwe. But you're quite right. It's the And actually, one of the reasons, you know, recognizing people's risk aversion to Zimbabwe is actually one of the reasons why we pay such a good dividend, and we do it quarterly just to make sure that every quarter we send a check to shareholders, and they say, oh yeah, Caledonia, blanket mine, yeah, so it's still going, it's still there, I've got this dividend check, and we'll continue to do that.
Yeah. And your opinion on the gold price at the moment. I mean, you know, it's trading in a bit of a range. What is it at the moment? About 1350, I think, around about there. And where do you see it? I mean, do you see it strengthening the price of gold or not? What's your opinion there?
Well, we are moving into that time of the year where typically the gold price does go up. So, as you know, typically the year's a game of two halves. And we are moving to that sort of stronger sort of second half, early part of the year when the gold price is higher. But I would expect the gold price to perhaps make modest improvements from where we are at the moment. But the thing is, you don't need to be a crazy gold guy to buy our shares. We've got a growing business, growing production. We're already a low cost producer. We're going to become a much lower cost producer as we continue with our investment. So, you know, we're just a business that makes a lot of money with high EBITDA margins. Those margins are going to go up. The top line is going to increase as well. So, you know, you don't need to be a gold bull to buy our shares. You just need to be able to recognize a very solid, very mature business, which is highly cash generative and has invested and continues to invest to boost that profitability and cash generation.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, if those figures, improved figures there, aren't enough to make people hit the follow button on CMCL on Vox Markets, can you give us three sort of bullet points, please, Mark, that'll convince people to, you know, make them follow you?
Yeah, you won't. Your three things are you're going to see production quarter on quarter increase. You're going to see profit quarter on quarter increase. You're going to see the cash flow quarter on quarter increase. We already pay a strong dividend. The dividend is relatively, you've been very complimentary about it, but as we generate more cash, clearly we'll have much more optionality to use that cash.
Marvellous. Mark, lovely to chat to you, and hopefully speak again soon.
Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now, it's a Friday, it's a lady with the technicals, the Duchess of the Chart, it's Nicola Duke.
Hello.
And as you pointed out, it's the glorious 12th. And,
it is the glorious 12th.
It's not very glorious for the grouse, for the little birds in Scotland that get shot today, is it? It's not that glorious, you know?
No, and they're beautiful little birds, grass. But I suppose they employ a few people, and they give, you know, very, very rich people excuses to have thousands of acre estates. So
yeah, well, I assume the grouse look beautiful before being shot. Afterwards, not so much, maybe. But anyway, let's talk about things we know about. Or in fact, that could be up for debate as well. But stocks, Nick, let's have a look. What are your macro thoughts at the moment?
My macro thoughts are how sorry I feel for all those people who were scared out of really good equity positions because of the Brexit referendum vote, and who have now watched this market. You know, the FTSE 100 is up like nearly 25%. The FTSE 250, 350 is up like 16, 18, 20%. I haven't measured it today. I measured it a couple of days ago. You know, what on earth are they thinking?
Yeah, and I watched a cracking documentary. I highly recommend it. Laura Koonsberg, you know, the political commentator on the BBC. I quite like her a lot.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
She did. I got it on an iPlayer last time. I was on the treadmill. I watched it. But it's about Brexit and a look back. And it takes you through the timeline, and it talks to the people who started the Leave campaign and what they were going for. It's very clever, actually, their strategy and what they did. And it's very good, excellent. And they talk to, you know, sort of working class people up north, and them saying, you know, Westminster don't care about us. And essentially about where the Brexit, you know, vote went wrong for the Remain campaign. But I'd highly recommend that on BBC iPlayer, Laura Koonsberg. It's called Brexit. But
I don't think it's just people up north that think that the government don't care about them either. And, you know, that's why I think that's why the Leave campaign was so powerful, because the message was just take control.
Yeah, take control, that's it. But they were saying that, you know, a lot of the people were saying that, you know, inside, there's a different thought inside the M25. They didn't really care about anyone else outside, you know. They weren't listening to the thoughts of people outside the M25. They don't care about us. And it was a protest vote that went, you know, people were very surprised by it, but it was a huge protest vote. And it's just a very good documentary worth watching. I'd highly recommend.
I don't think we're ever going to get another referendum after that one.
No. Okay, let's look at the stocks now. So the stocks I sent over were in this order.
I still am a little bit bullish stocks. I've been bullish for a while. I get still a bit squeezy. I think I'm still a bit bullish next week. But I would like to point out that last August, we were really bullish at this time, and then the arse fell out of the market.
Yes. Do you know what? Are you thinking that could happen again?
I think that no, I don't think it will so badly because last time everybody was bullish, whereas this time a lot of people have missed this rally and just repeatedly tried to short it and failed. And so I think that because not everybody, you know, unless we have a huge like sort of blow off spike and everybody jumps in the pool, and then we risk a nasty sell off. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's look at stocks. First one suggested by the people on Twitter is Prospects Oil and Gas had Ed Dawson, the CEO, in yesterday. Do you know? I got to say, I bought a bit of the stock. See that 2 days ago, that gap down, that was a placing announced. I bought towards the bottom of that on when was that Wednesday? So that was the day before Ed came on, and he came on yesterday. And basically, they raised more funds for their drilling. People were surprised that they needed more funds, but he said it's contingency, you know. Because, but what do you think of the chart there?
So it was quite close to Wednesday's low, and we're a whole like. I do think that there's a 1.618 Fibonacci extension, which is like something that we really should turn at, and that's at one, basically one even, it's 1.00 something. So I do think that what we're seeing is a bottoming process here, but we're on the downswing again, and we could go a little bit lower. We could I think what we saw yesterday was a really good attempt to hold the 50-day moving average, and so that is quite positive. If we don't go below yesterday's low and we go back up again and have another go at the 200-day moving average, which is what we've just failed at for the last 3 weeks, and that is at 1.39, then I think it's pretty optimistic for at least another leg lower. So any daily close above 1.39 will take us to 1.84. Okay. But whilst we're below 1.39, the risk is that we go lower before higher. So people should be careful and position themselves accordingly.
Yeah, okay.
I do not see this going back below. If people want to know where to, but I don't see this going making a new low.
Okay, well, there's some good fundamentals coming up, and they're about to do a drill, which should help fundamentally anyway. So, next stock, let's have a look at it. It is Eurasia Mining. EUA ticker. What's the chat saying, Nick?
Yeah, another one that's like really. But the difference between Eurasia and Prospect is Eurasia's on an upswing, and having another go, sort of double bottomed with the December low, and so I kind of like Eurasia much better.
Okay, cool.
Much better. And for the first time, yesterday was a daily close above the 200-day moving average. That's the first time since May. I think that it's really having a go. It like keeps spiking lower and meeting buyers. So I think this is going to have a go to continue higher. So I like this one a lot, you know, and you're wrong below 0.428.
Okay, lovely. Next one suggested is Westminster Group, WSG. What's it looking like? It's good power. It's gone from 5 pence or just below 5 pence. When was that? Just started this year. It's really powered up, isn't it? To 26 pence.
It really has. And look, okay, so if we put a daily chart up and we look left, it's done really well. Awesome. But here we are at resistance. So that's the previous highs from 2015. So if you look at June in 2015 and then November, December highs, here we are. And there were a lot of sellers yesterday that pushed us all the way back down again when we broke above those highs. Yeah. So I'm not a big fan of previous highs being great resistance, but they are really good stall levels. And we're very overbought. We're overbought on the daily, we're overbought on the weekly. So this needs to now, people need to wait for a dip to buy this.
Yeah.
But and now those, this 20... Yeah.
Go on, those three spikes there, it's three times an attempt to get above this sort of level, didn't it, back in December?
Now,
in December,
if we can close above 26.22, which is the Fib level that's there, then I will change my tone a bit. And then that level will then become support to keep us going higher. But it's a bit of an ask at the moment. We haven't managed a weekly close, and I think that we might not today. But if we did happen to close above 26.22, then I do think that we'll have another go higher. And, you know, and then we go, well, 39. But, you know, taking a long view on a big swing trade like that, when we're this far from the daily 200 moving average and oversold like this, I think is a big risk. I think the risk is here that we're going to come back.
Yeah.
And
over, so the levels overbought, you mean, yeah?
We're overbought, so we're going to come back. So if you're long and you bought this, I would take some profit here, just because, you know, those 2015 highs are quite important. And I think that, you know, when we come back, we'll probably come back to somewhere about 19.5. I know nobody likes to hear the bad news about that, but 19.5 or 16.6.
Okay.
And massive high levels.
I would
pile in there.
Do you know, the next one is a very interesting chart there. Wood Group, John Wood Group, WG
South
dot.
Group.
Yeah, because you can see there, as we've got both here. We've got previous support and we've also got a high of previous resistance, both lots. And it's at that price now, £7.34.5. And you can see that, can't you? Previous support, and it's been resistance before. So it's a struggling level here, isn't it?
So, well, yeah, but look at the disc. So go to weekly chart now. You can see Wood Group in May 2015 failed at the weekly 200 moving average. The weekly 200, if you think the daily 200 is strong, the weekly 200 is huge. So that's where we failed. But today, if we close anywhere near where we are now, we've closed above it and we've reversed it. And then we can buy against it, which is that really nice previous high. So I think that this sort of 710, 711 is a great buy to continue higher. We've still got room on the weekly. We're not quite overbought yet. We are a little bit on the daily, but I think we can go higher. So I love Wood Group.
Yeah, and do you know what? You're right. That weekly candle is very, very strong. It's a full body, little wick up through the 200 moving average. And also another thing, if you go back to the daily, right, what I quite like about this chart is that this rally has slowly built, you know, rather than the previous one, which was quite a violent build and obviously run out of steam. This one has been gradually higher lows all the way up slowly, not going crazily. It's taken like 6 months, hasn't it? 7 months to get to this.
Grind like that, very often it keeps going. So upside targets, where are we going next in Wood Group? 766 and about 832, 840.
Lovely. And
I really like, unless we have a collapse today, that 700, 711 should be support to continue higher.
Okay, cool. All right. Let's look at the last one then. It's, I hold a stock, actually.
Am I right? When I looked at this name, I was like, I thought, oh, that's how people type. Am I right in shorthand or something?
Yeah, am I right? Yeah, Amrit Pharma. A.M. Wyatt Amit is the ticker, And do you know what? I'm now, literally, I sort of waited for this. I was very patient in buying this. I like the company. I've written a blog about the board, a previous almost FTSE 100 company. The guy took, you know, Shire Pharmaceuticals, he's the one that took that to a FTSE 100 company. And they're trying to do the same again here, right? I waited. I'm now just 20% up in these. So I bought them, basically I scaled in slowly. And so they're at 19.25 now. Look at that, 1, 2, 3. Out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 trading sessions, 5 have been positive, haven't they? Strong candles there.
Yeah.
What do you think now, though?
And look, you know, the RSI on the daily is, you know, 86. Hello. We're at, if you're long, Amrit, there is trouble ahead at 1970, but nothing to stop you going there. So we're at 19, you know, midnight. So 1970 and 2121. I think ultimately this will end up next, this swing going to 2285, but it's very hard to buy when it's already done that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The 20-day moving average is down at 16, so...
Yeah. I mean, do you know what? I mean, like I said, yeah, charting, people get confused actually, don't they? Charting and fundamentals, and they think, you know, but like I said, fundamentally, this company can do very, very well.
Just because I think that a price, the thing, there's a very big difference between charting and fundamentals. You know, I'm just looking at the flow of money and nothing else, and where they got in and out before, where they bought, so where they'll be in paying when it comes back through. That's all I'm looking at. Doesn't mean if I don't like a price and I think it's going to go lower, doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the company at all. And vice versa, you know, we've seen times when complete dogs, you know, have huge short squeezes and go higher. So yeah, I'm not passing any judgment on the
no, exactly, because essentially I would say fundamentally this company could be a biggie, right? But like I said, at the moment on the chart, you can see it's been, you know, bought, and the volume's up there, it's been overbought. So you think temporary, short-term wise, there may be a pullback, but that doesn't it cast any judgment on the fundamentals of the company.
None,
you know?
Whatsoever.
I mean, exactly.
No. So, and I don't see this stock going back below 1670. And if it did come back to 1670, that's a huge buy level, and you should grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that there's a great potential for this stock. If we look at a daily chart and you look at those previous highs, you know, in May, June, I think that's resistance. There's a very good chance that we stall there and pull back to test support at either 1836 or 1670. And either of those two levels, if they come back there, that's a gift.
Yeah, I tell you what you're going to like, Nick. Have a quick look at this. We covered it last 2 weeks on a trot. It's my one of my experiments, EasyJet, EZJ. And yesterday came back, and I was looking on a five-minute chart, and I thought there's a 1.1050 level. There's quite a bit of support. And someone tweeted me saying it may go back down to £10 here. And I said, well, I'm hoping it'll hold that 1050 level. It has today. It's gone up by 2.3%. It's up to 1083, which almost is a little bit of previous resistance from a couple of days before. So if it breaks that, that's a nice sign, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, really good. Yeah, I know. I like EasyJet. I those targets still look great. Like, very pleased with EasyJet. I still like a couple of others that we've looked at as well. Blenheim. Glenwick is doing a really good job at having to get another go. So that's quite good to see. And Canadian Overseas Petroleum is nearly at our target of 7.4. So,
all right. That means I'm bagged then. Bagged there, 100%. Lovely.
If you're I know Keffi Minerals has a huge following. I still think that that's coming back to the support and the buy level, which is around 4.45. Yeah. And the 200-day moving average should catch up to buy it. And then you can buy against the 200-day. That should be really nice.
All right, Nick, have a nice weekend, and Nick will be sending me the charts. I'll put them on the blog there so you can listen to the podcast and look at the chart as annotated by the fair hand of Nicola Duke at Nick Trades on Twitter. Cheers, Nick.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at five. It's gone down from two yesterday. It's Prospects Oil and Gas, PXOG, at four. Microsec Systems, MSYS, at three. New entry at number three there. Norikom Gold, NMG, at two. Another new entry. Canadian Overseas Petroleum, COPL. And as a brand new number one, I know very little about this company, but we tried to contact any company that gets number one on the Vox Markets website here, most followed. We try and contact and get on the website. So on the podcast, I mean. So I'm going to be contacting Petrometad, MATD, hoping to get them on the podcast in the near future. All right, today's suggested one for your watch list has been submitted by Mr. Botswana. What's the name and ticker symbol of the company? It's Tlou Energy, TLOU. I do hold stock in this company. And, you know, I do your own research on this, I'm saying, but I think this company has potential. That's why I'm invested. But like I said, don't take my word for it. I could be a complete idiot. In fact, I'm pretty much a complete idiot anyway, so there we are. What does the company do? Tlou Energy is an AIM and ASX-listed company focused on delivering power in Botswana and the broader Southern African region through the development of coal bed methane projects. Botswana has a high energy demand, supply shortfall. At the moment, power stations are mostly run on diesel, which is costly and damaging to the environment. How many shares does the company have an issue? 205 million. Current market price and current market cap and share price is 5.875 pence, and that's a market cap of 12 million. What revenue, profit or loss does the company generate? None yet, but they're going to be going from exploration to producing soon, targeting first gas sales in 2016, which is not long. How much cash or debt does the company have? As of 30th of June 2016, they had 1.2 million Australian dollars. There's three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, they have proven reserves of 4.9 BCF, probable reserves of 239 BCF, and possible reserves of 3.3 TCF. So that's 3,300 BCF. Number two, they are the most advanced gas company in Botswana with Gebake Gebake. I love it. I love a double name of that. I should call Justin Justin. I'd love that. Gebake Gebake, executive director, who is a geologist, former Botswana public servant, was strong government and industry relationships. He was previously permanent secretary for minerals, energy and water, the government. That is strong relationships. By the way, it's also received the company confirmation that's been selected to develop a 50 megawatt CBM power plant at the company's 100% owned Lesadi CBM project, the most advanced of its kind in the country, by Botswana's Public Procurement and Asset Disposal Board. This is five times larger than the 10 megawatt power plant originally applied for, demonstrating the strength of the government's support for the development of domestic sources of power. Recently announced they received confirmation from the government's recently announced, this is the further point, on number two is a big point. They recently announced that they'd received confirmation from Botswana's government, Department of Environmental Affairs, that the environmental impact statement submitted by the company on December 15th, 2015, for its 3.3 trillion cubic feet Lesadi CBM project has been approved and will now be submitted for final review process. And point number three, reason three to put this on your watch list, Anthony Gilby, MD and CEO, is a geologist with 29 years industry experience. He was the co-founder and previous CEO of Sunshine Gas, which he sold for $1.1 billion and has had previous technical roles at Esso and Exxon. So there we are. That's Tolu Energy, ticker TLOU. I do hold stock in this company, like I said. But please, I think you should do your own research and at least, you know, put it on your watch list and do some research. It's the best way to do it. Just go to Vox Markets there, type in TLOU, hit follow, and you'll get all the information. And the share price has rallied. It was at 3.5 pence. Now it's just under 6 pence. But I think if you look at what they're doing here, there's a long way to go. If they achieve what they want to achieve, you know, this can be a big company here. So it's worth putting on your watch list. But this is not an investment. This is not advice to invest in any way whatsoever. I'm just saying, do some research on this company. That's it for the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, if you see an RNS on Monday morning that you like or dislike, hit the thumbs up or thumbs down button if you're on the website or mobile. It will be on the app very soon because that'll be a new feature on the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciate.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.